LSU basketball, still no word. What's going on with Will Wade? What's going on with Javonte Smart? We'll try and figure it all out. LSU baseball, trying to figure out who their starting pitchers will be as Kentucky comes to town for It Really Counts Now baseball. Yes, indeed. The New Orleans Saints, well, a changing of the guard, as they say, as one beloved figure appears to be no longer in the fleur-de-lis black and gold. And in the NBA, we've got owners after fans. We've got players getting it after fans. What's going to happen in the association today, Tuesday, March the 12th, 2019?
Here comes Lou Williams. Allen Iverson's understudy years ago, drives past Tice, goes under the shoulder, lays it up and in with the right hand. And with that, history for Lou Williams, now the NBA's all-time leading scorer off the bench.
.245 remaining. Harden splits double team, comes into the paint, Euro steps, runner off the window, in and one. 26 for the Beard, he'll shoot. 27.
Westbrook at midcourt, 8 to shoot, he does, a 35-foot three straight away that he buries. Cha-ching, a thunder, money ball from the U in Utah. Russell Westbrook the force. Lawson sticks, he has 21, my goodness.
And a great good afternoon. How are you, boys and girls? Great to be with you, ladies and gentlemen alike. On this Tuesday, March the 12th, the year 2019. We had a busy show planned for you and yours, and the story of this FBI probe into college athletics and college basketball has grown exponentially, and now the FBI and federal prosecutors have uncovered a massive bribery scheme to get students admitted to elite universities as recruited athletes and help them cheat on college entrance exams to gain admission. What? Where do you hear this? Where do you hear this? The U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston said the scheme includes nearly four dozen people, including actresses such as Felicity Huffman, and don't say it, but not Full House's Lori Loughlin, not Becky. What? Are you kidding me? Who paid as much as $6 million to get their children into schools such as Georgetown, Stanford, UCLA, USC, Texas, Wake Forest, and Yale. So apparently this is what happens. According to federal prosecutors, a gentleman by the name of William Rick Singer operated a company called Edge College and Career Network, a so-called for-profit college counseling and preparatory business in Newport Beach, California. So Singer retained clients who were willing to pay bribes to the coaches and college administrators in order to gain admission for their children. So these coaches would allegedly designate the students as recruits for competitive college athletic teams, regardless of their athletic ability or regardless if they even played the sport at all, to help facilitate their admission. Singer and others concealed the bribe payments by funneling the money through Singer's charitable organization. Holy cow. So they altered prospective students' profiles. They falsely identified them, and they got them on as a scholarship athlete. Now, to Yale, there is no scholarship, but you get into the school. Wow. Wow. And then Singer would pay the coach upwards of $400,000 as part of the scheme. Holy cow. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. So We've got soccer programs and rowing programs and all these, apparently these well-to-do families whose children maybe can't cut the mustard academically to get into these elite schools, they figure out a way. But does Lori Loughlin, Becky of Full House, have to do that? Can't she just call up Stanford and say, hey, this is Lori Loughlin, Becky, Full House, I'd like to get my son or daughter, whoever it may be, into your school. And that school should say, absolutely, come on. Do you mind us using you as part of our public relations project? Not at all. Done deal. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Paying upwards of $500,000 to get their kid into a university. Holy cow. That's just one story today that we'll cover. The other big story of the day, the New Orleans Saints, it appears that they've got their backup quarterback and their heir apparent to Drew Brees, as apparently, according to all reports, Teddy Bridgewater is going to re-sign with the New Orleans Saints, despite having what many believe to be a better dollar offer from the Miami Dolphins. Apparently, Teddy Bridgewater likes the locker room. The fact that Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas and the rest of the guys are young, maybe fits into his equation, and maybe he'll be a backup for a year or two and then take over for Drew Brees. On the flip side, not going to happen with Mark Ingram, because the Saints are going to sign free agent running back Latavius Murray from the Minnesota Vikings. About the same age, but a lot cheaper. A lot cheaper. So with that in mind, Luke Johnson of The Advocate will join us in just a minute or two and talk about this. The Saints are basically don't have a lot of wiggle room. They don't. They don't have a lot of draft picks this year. You get some, you know, you give some away to get great talent like they've gotten. You pay the price down the road. But they're not done. They're not done by any stretch of the imagination, but they must be conservative in their approach. They're not going to be overspending like they've done in the past with some free agent misses that have been well documented. So they're taking a cautious approach in free agency. And hopefully they'll strike gold. We'll talk all about that with Luke Johnson. Amy Just will join us. We'll talk LSU basketball. Apparently there's a student protest about to get started around 2:30 on campus across from the administration building. But all's been very, very quiet. Tony Benford, the interim head coach, said he hasn't been told anything differently. He is planning on coaching the team in the SEC tournament, unless notified before then. No word on Javonte Smart as of yet. We'll find out if he's going to be able to play in the SEC tournament or not. We do know that Naz Reid will be able to play. He's been cleared from the concussion protocol. So Amy Just, at about 2:32 this afternoon, will share all her thoughts on that, plus a little bit of LSU football as well. LSU baseball on the diamond tonight in Natchitoches against Northwestern State. We'll get a report from Wilson Alexander of The Advocate in hour number two after Hot Topics, and then all things NBA with our good friend Grant Hughes. Did you see what Russell Westbrook did? I don't know what the fans supposedly said, but Russell Westbrook went off, said, I'll mess you up and your wife up, and I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. So the league is going to have to step in on this front and figure out everything to do with it. So a very, very busy day for you and yours. We think we're going to have you covered from A to Z. A to Z. So stick around. CD in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios, taking care of business as always. And we'll be right back with Luke Johnson and the latest on the New Orleans Saints here on Acadiana's number one sports station, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfrich Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Hey, we welcome you back. This is the Jordy Holtberg Show. Time to talk some NFL talk. And sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And the New Orleans Saints have done both of those, it appears. Well, let's get in from NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, and our good friend Luke Johnson. A very busy day for the New Orleans Saints. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jordy. How are you?
I am terrific. It looks like you gain a quarterback, you lose a running back. Give us the latest lowdown. First, starting off with longtime Saint Mark Ingram.
Yeah, well, the Saints agreed to terms with free agent running back Latavius Murray today. 4-year, $14 million contract. That's obviously less than Mark will probably command on the free agent market. It just kind of appears that they were a little bit too far away on a compensation to agree to keep Mark Ingram in New Orleans long term. Saints made a move for Latavius Murray, and Mark Ingram's moving on to other teams.
What do you think their offer was to Murray? How far apart do you think it was? Because here's a guy apparently that was beloved in the locker room, that camaraderie that not many people would have welcomed Alvin Kamara and the role that he played and lessening the role that the incumbent had quite as well as it seemed that Mark Ingram did. Why so far apart, in your opinion?
Well, I've seen a report that the Saints' initial offer to was for $4 million a year, which is what he was making on his last contract. Mark obviously thought he could get more than that, somewhere else. I think just considering where the Saints are and with the salary cap right now, they don't have a lot of wiggle room. Alvin Kamara is their guy. Obviously they wanted to keep Mark Ingram around. I think you look at some of the other moves they've made in the last few days with bringing back Craig Robertson and Chris Banjo. They want to try to keep this kind of tightly knit locker room together as much as they can. But they've got to be smart with how they do it. Yeah. And committing $5 million plus a year to a running back while he's a beloved part of your team, who's essentially going to be playing second fiddle to Alvin Kamara. It's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to make that work. So the Saints got another really physical number two running back to kind of plug in for a bargain compared to what Ingram's probably going to command, and that's kind of where they stand.
And they're about the same age, Murray and Ingram. So, okay, we'll Sean Payton we trust. Teddy Bridgewater opting to stay with the New Orleans Saints. Did that surprise you? And tell me the details of that.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And this is not in any way official yet. They haven't agreed to compensation or years or anything like that. It's just right now it's just kind of where it stands is that he's expected to stay. That could still change. It's still a little bit fluid, but as of right now, it's kind of where things stand, and they're kind of working on getting an agreement in place. I am surprised by that. I thought Teddy proved he was healthy, that he's fully back from that knee injury. I don't think teams put too much stock in one regular season game when a bunch of starters are out. It wasn't too impressive in that game, but it's one meaningless game when you all kind of add it up.
He was upright and moving.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Teddy would get somewhere north of $10 million a year, easy on the open market. I thought there was going to be somebody who wanted him to come in and be their starting quarterback. And the way things kind of played out, you look at Denver trading for Joe Flacco, and then Washington had a quarterback question because nobody knows if Alex Smith is going to be ready to play. So they went out and traded for Case Keenum, and then Jacksonville Jaguars signed Nick Foles, and that really just kind of left one team that really is decisively going into next year not knowing who its starting quarterback is going to be, and that's Miami Dolphins. Teddy's from Miami. I thought that might have made sense, but they also have the the number 13 pick in the draft, and they can, you know, go get a quarterback of the future there. I don't think Teddy wanted to be in the situation he found himself in with the Jets, where he signed with them, and then they drafted Sam Darnold shortly thereafter, and he's the odd man out. Right now it's all looking like he's going to be back in New Orleans. We'll see how long that agreement is for. But, you know, the report we saw today was that he really enjoyed his time in New Orleans. He enjoyed working with Sean Payton, and he likes the idea of maybe potentially succeeding Drew Brees in this offense.
He is Luke Johnson, NOLA.com, Times-Picayune, covers the New Orleans Saints on a day-to-day basis. It appears to me the Saints have learned from their past transgressions in some of these big free agent signings that never really worked out. And we know all too well about Jairus Byrd and C.J. Spiller and Kobe Fleener, Brandon Browner, James Laurinaitis, to name a few. You don't always hit home runs, and it just appears that the Saints have done their damage through the draft. But the draft is – they just don't have much in the draft this year. So where – as they are cautious in their approach in free agency, do you see some other moves taking place soon?
I mean, they're going to have to, I think. They're going to have to address some spots where they're weak. You know, they mm-hmm. might – they have – basically one defensive lineman or one defensive tackle on their team right now that they know is going to be there in week one. Tyler Davidson's a free agent. Sheldon Rankins is, could potentially start the season on the physically unable to perform list. David Onyemata might be suspended after he was arrested in the off season. Mm-hmm. Taylor Stallworth is their only guy. They're going to have to make some moves. And I think, you might see some corresponding moves to free up some space to go after some of those guys. Not exactly sure what they would be. I don't want to kind of just speculate on that.
Sure.
But, you see some needs on this team that they're going to have to address somehow. And the fact that they only have one pick in the first four rounds means they're probably going to have to address these needs in free agency. So I do not think we're seeing the last of the Saints being kind of movers and shakers in this.
Not only defensive line, but you've got apparently a need at tight end. You've got a need, according to reports, at like a slot wide receiver. And, of course, Saints fans will always say they need a pass rusher, and NOLA.com is reporting that they're going to visit with free agent pass rusher Ziggy Ansah from the Detroit Lions. So those seem to all be positions of need, correct?
Yeah, especially considering that two guys who played a lot of football in their defensive line last year are free agents, and Alex Okafor and Tyler Davidson, and then Ben Watson obviously retired, and there's some uncertainty of the wide receiver position. I would say all those you're kind of checking the boxes as needs. I think you can take away if Teddy resigns, you can take away quarterback and running back, but those were also two areas where they needed to address. They're working toward that point right now.
I know I'm just a fan that doesn't even think about the money, but boy, wouldn't it have been fun if Antonio Brown had lined up in a slot across from Michael Smith? Michael Thomas. I mean, golly. I mean, would that? I know that was never even thought of, right? Never.
I mean, it couldn't have been. There's no way they could have made that happen. Ugh. From a money standpoint.
Would have been fun.
Yeah, Antonio Brown got. He's getting $50 million over 3 years. The Saints could not compete with that.
Jeez Louise. What else? What else what else can we anticipate here? What did you hear about from the Saints at the Combine? I mean, they're going about their business, and the Saints have always had a propensity of trading up to do something, but can they do anything like that this year?
Yeah.
And I do believe we just lost Luke Johnson on that note. But that's okay, because there always is a way of moving up in the draft. There's no question about that. But again, Luke, can trade up? They see to do that in the past. Is that in their wheelhouse again?
I think it's a possibility if they find somebody they really like. But, like we've talked about a little bit before, you've got to kind of be careful. They're navigating some kind of difficult waters right now because of all the aggressiveness they've made in the past. And that's not only with with the draft capital, with trading away the first, third, and fourth picks in this year's draft. It's also the the kind of kicking the can down the road free agency attitude uh-huh. they've taken with backloading contracts and because you're not only looking at this year's cap, you're also looking at Mike Thomas becoming a free agent after next year, Alvin Kamara and Ryan Ramczyk the year after that.
Right.
They're going to have a fifth year option on Sheldon Rankins to decide whether to pick up next month. So it's going to be kind of difficult to navigate. And a lot of this obviously depends on how long Drew plays. He's eating up a significant portion of their salary cap right now. So if let's say he decides to hang it up after next year, that frees up some space to do some things.
Sure.
But if he decides to keep playing, it's going to be hard to figure out how to work around all that stuff.
How do you think Mark Ingram will be remembered by Saints fans? He'll be beloved, won't he?
I think so. Which is pretty remarkable considering the way his career started.
Yes.
This is a guy that was booed in the Superdome.
Yes.
I think over the last 4 years, he's played some really strong football. And he's kind of endeared himself to the city of New Orleans and certainly to that locker room with his personality. Mark's a really gregarious guy. He's really mm-hmm. funny, he's going to be missed. That's absolutely 100% factual. I don't think there's a guy in that locker room who's going to not miss having Mark Ingram around.
Well, nobody covers him and does it better than our good friend Luke Johnson. Thanks so much for the information. A day when the Saints lose Mark Ingram, gain Latavius Murray, and it appears that Teddy Bridgewater is going to dot the I's and cross the T's here soon, we think. But everything, as you said, is fluid. We'll see. But thanks for the update, and we greatly appreciate it, my friend. Take care.
No problem. Y'all have a great day.
All right. That's Luke Johnson, NOLA.com, The Times, Picayune. We're just getting rolling here. When we come back, protests at LSU over this Will Wade thing. What's going on behind the scenes? What's happening with LSU hoops? Amy Just, NOLA.com, covers the Tigers daily. We'll knock some things around here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Stay with us.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
And welcome back. LSU basketball getting ready to play in the Southeastern Conference, their Southeastern Conference tournament opener this Friday at noon against the winner of the two teams that beat them in the regular season. Whoever wins between Arkansas and Florida will take on LSU on Friday. It's been very, very, very quiet since LSU cut down the nets and had the confetti poured on them Saturday night with their convincing win over Vanderbilt. And it's a pleasure to welcome Amy Justin, who covers LSU for NOLA.com. She joins us here now. Are you surprised to... Amy, first, thank you for your time. Are you surprised at how it's gone? I mean, it's like quiet as can be concerning all the things involving LSU basketball.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's not going to be quiet for too much longer. We have a media availability with the players and interim coach Tony Benford here in a couple hours, so I'm sure we will have some news that comes out of that, whether that's related to Will or Javonte or not.
Okay. We do know that Naz Reid has been cleared to play, but I always wondered, I just would like your perspective of things, if everything was okay, wouldn't Will Wade have come out and said something already?
I have no idea. I'm sure there are plenty of lawyers who have given their advice on both sides, LSU and with Will Wade, and Javonte too. So I'm not surprised that the one statement that Will gave to me and some other journalists in town has been the only thing he's publicly said. Not surprised.
Not surprised. And he said something to the effect of, what did he say exactly, if you don't mind?
It was a three-paragraph statement, the end of it, which he wished his team the best and, you know, mm-hmm. said he believed in them and all that. But he said that, you know, to, you know, not pass judgment until all the facts are out there. The pretty good summation of that. And he understands that the position that LSU was put in suspending him.
Understood. Amy Just, NOLA.com, the Times Picayune. Is there a protest going on with students, and has that gained any traction today?
So it's supposed to start at 2:30. There are a bunch of news trucks here and some journalists hanging out, but I don't see any signs. I'm walking around out here right now, and I don't see anybody, but it's supposed to go from 2:30 until 6, and then at 6 they're supposed to march, I think, to the LSU Athletics Administration building, which is just right across the street. So, yeah, I'm outside right now, and I don't see anybody yet, but, oh, wait a minute, maybe there's one, maybe. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe.
But
okay.
I'm sure.
Have you ever been?
I'm sure. Huh?
Go ahead. You sure it'll pick up?
I'm sure there'll be more people here later. Yeah, one person just showed up with a free Javonte Smart and free Will Wade sign and Joe Must Go on the other side of it. So I'm sure it'll pick up.
Have you ever?
Get out of class.
Yeah. Have you ever in your journalistic life seen anything quite like what transpired Saturday night?
No. I've watched many good games, but the atmosphere surrounding that one was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. Now, people who were at the Boycott Bowl in New Orleans during Super Bowl weekend probably could potentially say something different, but I was not down there. So that was wild. That was wild.
Do you think this is just about Will Wade, or do you think there is such a disdain for Joe Oliva for his time at LSU? It's hard for me to distinguish. What do you think? I mean, venomous toward Joe Oliva.
Yeah, so I have a different perspective than a lot of people who have been at LSU since. I've only been here since October, so I don't have the firsthand knowledge of what happened with Les and some other high-profile things. But I've been told that this is just a lingering resentment that has just kind of found its breaking point.
It seems to me, Amy Just, kind enough to join us, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, that there are two sides pulling against one another. You have the administration whose job it is to protect the program and the institutional control of the university, and you have a very successful, albeit very quick, but successful basketball coach, and it's just... it's like they're pulling apart from one another, and it seems to have battle lines have been drawn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, and I can see where that perception is. I know that both sides want to get this resolved. I think that's one of the few things they have in common right now, is that they just want this to end. They want it to get figured out. And that's about where the similarities end. In my opinion,
there has to have been conversations taking place. We know that on Friday, Will Wade, due to his advice given to him, did not meet with LSU officials, thus basically forcing LSU's hand to do something. There's got to have been communication back and forth here and now, but other than Will Wade coming out and saying, no, I did not do any of it, and here's the proof of it, or yes, I did do it? I mean, what else can transpire? What else can go on?
You would have to think that to end the suspension, he would meet with them, but I don't really know. The last update I got was this morning at 9 a.m., and nothing had changed, but I'll be asking for another update here shortly, and we'll see if there is one. But until all parties involved have a conversation, which I don't believe has happened, I don't know. I think we're at a stalemate.
Yeah. Golly, just you would think with the SEC tournament right here, right now, that I don't know. It's just so bewildering to me. What? How do you think, and you'll know more today, how Tony Benford has handled things. I mean, if I'm Tremont Waters, I'm like, I'm loving this. Here's the keys. Go take it. Go run with it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, as you and I talked earlier this week for a fun story that I'll have coming out later, you know, this team has been through a lot, and they've, because of that, I think this won't distract them as much as it could potentially. Because these storylines have been out all season. It just keeps getting worse and worse. But I've been told that there are no plans for LSU to not play in the postseason. And LSU, they have all the pieces to potentially do some damage in March and, yeah, you know, go, mm-hmm, go as far as they can. I've said, you know, since December, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if LSU lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament, or they won the entire thing. Nothing surprises me anymore. It yeah, really, nothing yeah, does.
I'm with you on that one. Amy, why is there is such a galvanizing local fandom in favor of Will Wade and all that, and then nationally, they're just killing him? Some of the most powerful voices in college basketball are just condemning him. There seems to be no love lost for Will Wade nationally.
Yeah, there's a lot of skeptics out there outside of Baton Rouge. You know, I get it. Here in town, you know, Will made LSU basketball relevant again. It's been a while. You know, it's been about 10 years. Since, you know, it has been 10 years since the last SEC title, and just 2 years ago things were ugly. So the fans, you know, they want to be relevant in as many sports as they can be, and I think that's part of why they've latched on to Will and what he's done, is because, you know, Will has made LSU basketball fun to watch, and they're scared that that could potentially go away. And it could be like, mm-hmm, 2 years ago when they went 2-16 in conference play and no one shows up and it's just sad. And I think that's what they're afraid of. And, you know, I see it. I understand. As I say a lot, you know, I went to Kansas. I've seen some pretty ugly football. And when there's even a glimmer of hope, you try to latch onto it. I get it. I do.
So you're the one that recommended Les Miles to go to Kansas. I see how that all works now. Now
no,
it's all...
I had nothing to do with that, but I'm not complaining.
We're going to check your phone records. That's all I'm going to say. We're going to check it. but can you understand? I understand the faction on the Will Wade side. Do you understand the action that the administration has taken in the here and now?
I know LSU fans aren't going to want to agree with me, but yeah, I mean, their hands were tied. You know, your coach, you ask, mm-hmm, him to come in to talk to you about these things, and he says no. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I get it. I know that LSU fans are angry. But what choice did they have?
Yeah, I'm sure Joe Oliva's not running around at popular restaurants in town. I'm sure he's it's just the best. But what people don't understand is it's not Joe Oliva's decision. He's hearing from the president, who's hearing from the board of supervisors, who's hearing from the governor and the power brokers and the money people and all. It is an octopus with a lot of tentacles out there, right? I mean, that's just how it works.
Yeah, exactly. As I've said on multiple radio interviews this week, it's not just Oliva. You know, he's getting a lot of the anger, which could be ire from other things that's just boiled up. But there were a lot of people that went into making this decision, and people who believe that this was Oliva's decision alone are sorely mistaken on that. He can't make decisions like this alone, especially one as monumental as this.
No question. Somebody has to fall on the sword, and Joe Oliva had to fall on the sword. Do you have any? Do you have any thoughts on what the next month will be like for LSU basketball? Will Wade, Javonte Smart. Do you think Javonte Smart gets reinstated?
I have no idea. I genuinely don't. I don't pretend to know, but we could potentially have a decision today, according to interim coach Tony Benford. We will see if we get an update today. It would be nice. I would personally like it so I can, move on and write about, on the court basketball things, because that's what I prefer to do. I don't like doing this as much as fans don't like being involved in this. But, it is what it is, and we'll find out when we find out. But, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. I know something has had to been going on, and I think there's a lot of lawyers that are involved, and we shall see what happens. Well, go report on the protest. We'll follow you on Twitter. And we thank you for the time. And the story that Amy was talking about was she was kind enough to get some opinions of mine from the only LSU basketball team that won an SEC basketball tournament back in the 1979-1980 season. Quite a run in Birmingham. And we look forward to that when it comes out. But thank you for the time. And as always, keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much, and I love coming on your show. Anytime I can help, I'm glad to do so.
All right. She's the one that promoted Les Miles to Kansas, and that's a fact. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Just kidding. All right. We'll take a timeout here. We will wrap up hour number one. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, a mini protest beginning. I don't know what's going to happen with LSU basketball. I have no clue. No clue. I've got opinions, but nothing from etched in granite whatsoever. But if we don't find out soon, the longer it takes, right, then they're not going to play anymore, or he's not going to play and he's not going to coach. But we'll find out soon. We'll be right back.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers, and it's right here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, 52 minutes after the hour as we wrap up hour number one, the big story of the day. Latavius Murray, running back from Minnesota, heading to the Saints, ending the Mark Ingram run. And this little interesting tidbit about Latavius Murray, he's just 28 days younger than Mark Ingram, but because of a redshirt year in college at Central Florida, and as an injured reserve season as a rookie with the Raiders, he has three fewer seasons, just 28 days younger now, three fewer seasons, and 422 fewer carries in the league, and he costs a lot less. That's how the Saints roll. Apparently, Mark Ingram is close to a deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Pro Football Talk has a report that the Saints want Dez Bryant back. So we shall see about that. So there you go. Just a couple of things here and there with the New Orleans Saints. Coming up in hour number two of the program, we'll talk LSU baseball as they get ready to head, or they're en route to Natchitoches, Louisiana, as we speak. They'll take on the Demons of Northwestern State, and we'll have that game for you right here on 103.7 The Game. As always, your source for all things LSU sports, right? And then, of course, LSU plays again tomorrow. So 6 p.m., first pitch, pregame show, 5:30. Just in case you want to know, LSU leads the series in a convincing fashion. They've won 21 of the past 22 meetings, but the last meeting they had to come from behind and score 5 runs in the ninth for a 9-5 win June 3rd in an elimination game at the NCAA Regional in Corvallis. It'll be a packed house. It'll be a fun house, and we'll talk all about the significance of this ball game coming up in hour number two. Again, the big story leading off the day, the feds have alleged that coaches have been bribed for school admission from wealthy to-do people, so that whose maybe children didn't meet the entrance requirements. They faked them as an athlete to get them on as a scholarship athlete, and they bribed and paid one person who then funneled money as bribery to coaches. The U.S. Attorney's Office has dubbed this Operation Varsity Blues, which now includes 50 people, including college coaches, actresses, and CEOs who collectively paid $25 million to get their children into some elite universities. The bribes orchestrated by William Rick Singer, a California admissions consultant who is scheduled to plead guilty to charges including racketeering, conspiracy, prosecutors have said. We've got coaches from Yale, the women's soccer coach, USC Senior Associate Athletic Director Donna Heinel, Ali Karoshakin, former USC women's soccer coach. We've got a women's water polo coach from USC, a Wake Forest volleyball coach, a Stanford sailing coach, a Texas men's tennis coach, and a UCLA men's soccer coach, and a women's and men's tennis coach at Georgetown. Wow. You've got Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives, Lori Loughlin, Becky from Full House, were among those who paid bribes to help their children gain admission into the universities, according to the indictment. Huffman was among 13 people taken into custody today in Los Angeles. Wow. It just goes on and on and on. Amazing. Hour number one's history. Come on back. Hour number two on the way. This is the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Wow. Wow.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana's sports station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans.
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Yes, indeed. The start of hour number two of two on this Tuesday, March the 12th, the year 2019. We're getting closer and closer to the start of spring, which begins on March the 20th. This hour of the program brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. Stopped off at the Doosan store on Saturday. Oh, my goodness. I mean, if you haven't been, it's worth the trip just to go. It is spectacular. It's got everything. It's a combination of ShopRite, Tobacco Plus. It's got everything you can imagine under the sun and then some. Everything. I mean, and just spotless. Spotless. Not to sound ridiculous, but I'm very, very cognizant of bathrooms and the cleanliness of them. And, I mean, it's just immaculate. It is spectacular. Really, Doosan, ShopRite, Tobacco Plus, it is fabulous. It's also fabulous that former LSU Tiger Tyrann Mathieu is going to sign a three-year, $42 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs when the new league year begins tomorrow. Very happy for the Honey Badger. Without further ado, we do, each and every day at this time of day, our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, hit that button.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Where are you going to start today, my friend? There's all kinds of stuff swirling around. Good afternoon.
It's a good thing, Jordy. We got a lot of things swirling around today. And, of course, I think we got to start off talking about the New Orleans Saints, Jordy. Why not get things going with them? Because they're making some moves. One of them makes a lot of sense. The other one... I don't know what to think about it as of right now, Jordy. Being said, the first one I got to talk about, we got to come right out the gate with Teddy Two Gloves getting re-signed by the New Orleans Saints. Bridgewater passing up an opportunity to be probably the starter over in the 305 instead of sticking with a 504 in the locker room culture and potentially being the heir to the throne. At least is what is being promised to him. Probably wanna try to get him to agree to that deal. That being said, Jordy, is that the right move to get him and possibly be the heir to the throne whenever Drew Brees finally does hang it up?
I'm not so sure that that's been promised along the line. I'm not so sure about that. I believe there was maybe a lukewarm, you know, I'm not so sure how strong Miami came for him. I'd have to wait and hear the details on that, to be honest with you. But it certainly solves a problem as far as having a viable backup at this time for Drew Brees. So I'm all for that. I think that's terrific if the numbers are right, which I'm sure they're working on as we speak. So I'm all for that. Yes, I'm not so sure he was promised the heir to be the heir to Drew Brees. Not so sure about that one yet.
But you got to think it was at least bantied about it if you want to try and get him to stay aboard and do that, as opposed to, oh, hey, you're going to go to Miami and you wind up being the starting quarterback and you start establishing yourself and you're back home too as well. I think that was probably another thing that was looming heavy on him.
Bad team, right? Bad team, bad offensive line. Gee whiz, get to learn a little bit more. He's still young, very young. And maybe if he proves himself, then he will be the starting quarterback for the Saints when Drew Brees finally hangs it up. But I just don't believe that they said, you're definitely going to be the guy. Just stick around. And you're going to. I don't believe Sean Payton did that.
All right, Jordy, moving over to the running back position. Jordy, it seems like the Mark Ingram era, it is over. Can't believe it's been 8 years since he first set foot on the field in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Back then it was just Superdome. It's crazy to think how long ago that was. That being said, Jordy, Latavius Murray will be signing with the New Orleans Saints. A four-year, $14 million deal. That's pretty much going to price Mark Ingram out of it. Potentially, I'm hearing Green Bay, Chicago. Now we're hearing Baltimore being bantied about as one of the teams that's going to wind up looking for him. But it got me to thinking, Jordy, with Latavius Murray, obviously he's more of a physical back. And that means we're going to wind up seeing Alvin Kamara be the feature back, be the bell cow. Can Alvin Kamara succeed in that kind of role as opposed to what he had been doing over the last two seasons?
I believe he can. I'm a big Alvin Kamara fan. I'm a big Sean Payton fan of how he uses Alvin Kamara. They still have Murray to come in there and get those tough third and one, third and twos kind of plays that you need. So they got him cheaper than Ingram. I hate to see Ingram go. But, you know, money talks, and he's going for more money wherever he can get it. So good for him. Thanks for your time as a Saint. And maybe he ends his career as a Saint down the road. Who knows, right? But, no, to answer your question, I'm a big fan. I think Kamara can handle it and handle it very, very well.
Yeah, and you got to think Mark Ingram's probably trying to get the Kenny Vaccaro type deal because you saw he got paid big bucks. Like that 1 year contract, that paid off dividends for a guy that was definitely, I'd say, a little middle of the road.
On his way out of the league. And he had a good season and good for him. Yeah, that's right.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's amazing, Jordy.
You're right.
Now we got to talk about some Major League Baseball, Jordy, because former LSU Tiger Alex Bregman, he got paid, but not nearly enough that he wanted. In fact, it was the league minimum he got renewed. And according to a report from MLB.com, he's a little upset. And it got me thinking, Jordy, could this be the first fracture in a franchise that has a lot of young talent? And you got to think, under the current CBA in the MLB, it could be very hard to keep all these young guys together.
There's no way they get to keep them all together. There's too much money involved, and everybody deserves their piece of the pie. I never, ever, ever side against players. It's a short career, except in baseball now. It has a chance to be a long career, but go get your money. And if it's an unfair compensation system, okay, you can keep playing, put the numbers up, and you will get your big reward. There's no question, but that's a way to fracture a locker room. That's a way to fracture a young team. But Alex Bregman loves to play baseball, and I know he's disappointed. I know he feels like he outperformed what his contract is. He understands that it's a business. Don't expect to keep him long, paying him what you're paying him. Just that's the way it goes.
Oh, I have to agree, Jordy. You'd have to try and keep these guys together. I think as long as you keep Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, and maybe Justin Verlander, because I think Verlander's got a couple more good years left in him. But moving ahead, Jordy, my goodness, Lou Williams is a beast off the bench, Jordy. 34 points, the most all-time by a bench player since the stats were tracked, passing up Del Curry. It got me thinking.
How about that?
It's amazing to see what we saw from Lou Williams last night. Is he the best, one of the best bench players you've ever seen, Jordy?
Oh, he is. Vinny Johnson, the microwave, when he was at Detroit, it would come off and you just have the green light and would light it up. But Lou's done it for a long, long time. Now, you go back, because he was a starter, and then they moved him to the sixth man, and he was none too happy about that. But as time went on and he got a little bit older, he started to understand that he's carved out quite a niche for himself. Del Curry, a terrific shooter. Lou Williams is just a scoring machine. He doesn't do anything but one thing, shoot it.
Yep.
That's a pretty good thing to have from your coach. Just get in there and light it up and then come back and sit down. He's going to play a lot longer because the minutes are fewer. It's not a bad way to make a living. It's just not. Now, he's not going to get paid the superstar money, but, I mean, a couple million here and there, not a bad way to earn a living. That's all I can say.
All right, Jordy, last one real quick. All SEC teams were released earlier today, and only one LSU Tiger made it to the first team. That's Tremont Waters, first team All SEC. But it seems a little strange, Jordy, when you think about it. It feels like maybe a Skylar Mays, a Naz Reid, somewhere along those lines winds up in that first team as well. Maybe I'm just a little biased there, Jordy.
I think you're a little biased on that. Look, it's all about numbers, and there was a lot of really good players in the league. You got to put somebody from Tennessee, Grant Williams. You got to put somebody from Kentucky, P.J. Washington. Gatlin from Arkansas was tremendous. So, look, Skylar made the second team. That doesn't interest in them. They just want to get out there and win the SEC tournament. And more importantly, they want to make a long run in the dance. And that's what it's all about. So, congrats to Tremont Waters. Naz Reid on the all-freshman team. Tremont Waters did make second team on the coaches' all-SEC team. All right, there you have it. Thank you, CD. Job well done. Hot Topics brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet, and that is Cajun Chef. Bring a little small bottle with you wherever you go. Everything tastes better with Cajun Chef hot sauce on it. We'll preview LSU Northwestern State baseball next.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. We'll be right back.
welcome you back. Coming up this evening, the LSU Tigers baseball edition at Northwestern State to take on the Demons in Natchitoches. We'd like to welcome a new friend to the program. He's the newest member of The Advocate, who is covering both LSU baseball and LSU football. We welcome Wilson Alexander. Wilson, man, thanks for the time and welcome to the program, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Jordy.
It's our pleasure. What have you learned about this LSU baseball team that was going into the season ranked 1 in most polls, 2 at the lowest? And as per they suffered some highs, some big disappointments, and still trying to figure out who's going to be the starting rotation when SEC play begins this weekend.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, they're holding that whole starting rotation pretty close to the vest. Pulmonary doesn't like to put that out until Thursday. But today's going to be really interesting because Landon Marceau's pitching, and this is going to go a long way to figure out that weekend rotation, how he pitches today. There's some injuries. Jaden Hill's out with a sore arm, and Cole Henry had some tightness in his upper back, which shortened his last start. So they're kind of in a precarious spot right now with that weekend rotation.
Yeah, they come in ranked number 10 in the collegiate baseball poll, number 11 in Baseball America, number 13 in USA Today. What does Landon Marceau have to show, and how long do you think he has to show it tonight?
Well, that's what's kind of an interesting question, because if he's going to pitch this weekend, he's not going to go very long tonight.
Right.
Paul was saying yesterday that, he can't really get extended 5-6 innings. So it's kind of interesting, because if he pitches really well through like 2 or 3 innings, they might pull him. But Paul hasn't said that explicitly.
Not only is there some trepidation as to who the starting pitching is going to be, the guy we thought was rock solid coming out the bullpen to close the games, Todd Peterson's had some difficulty at times as well. Has anyone addressed that subject with Paul? And you know where I'm going with this. What about the closer role?
Right now, there's no, question that Todd Peterson is the closer.
Okay.
I remember getting, people in my mentions on Twitter at the game on Saturday asking me, oh, well, why not leave Mikhail Hilliard in for another inning? Well, Mikhail's still coming off soreness in his shoulder, and he really can't go more than 1, maybe 2 innings right now. And if Todd Peterson's going to be the closer, then he needs to come in those situations and show that he can do it. Obviously, this is 2 straight saves opportunities in a row that he's blown, and that's not a good sign.
No.
But he's been throwing strikes, and that's what's kind of weird, is that he's not getting hit hard. Like, balls are just kind of going out of the infield, like in between shortstop, third baseman, first baseman, second baseman, et cetera. And stuff just kind of is building up. So Maneri hasn't expressed any concern about it yet, but it's something that they're keeping an eye on for sure.
Wilson Alexander, the Advocate, covering LSU baseball. I know you're new on this with them, but it just seems like year after year after year, these pitchers come up with sore arms, bad arms, surgical arms. I don't know what approach LSU baseball's taking, but it's like every year. And I've never yet to understand. I don't begin to know the first thing about it, but whatever they're doing, they need to change their approach, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's impossible for me to really, like, give a take on or answer, having only arrived here a month ago. But you're right that there is a lot of sore arms right now. I mean, and it's kind of a problem, and it's going to really turn into a problem if they don't get healthy as they get into the meat of the SEC schedule, because, like, we're talking about with this weekend rotation, I mean – it's a deep staff, but it's a heavily injured staff, and they're okay right now, but yeah, a few more arms get hurt, and they're in a definitely in a tough spot. They need to get those guys healthy as fast as possible.
But you can't rush at the same time. Yeah, I understand. Wilson Alexander joining us. When you look at the 3 weekend positions, how many people do you think are in the mix for that? We know there's Zach Hess, and, you know, is Eric Walker in there? We'll see if Landon Marceau's in there, Cole Henry. I mean, how many people do you think are vying for those three coveted spots?
Well, you listed most of them. The only one that that really comes to mind that you didn't say is Jaden Hill. But like I sort of said earlier, like Jaden's out right now, and he's not going to be coming back. It's certainly not by SEC, the start of SEC play next weekend against Kentucky. I mean, Zach Hess, Paul was saying, you know, he's got to get more consistent so he can go longer, and he's not getting, you know, right, 30 pitches in one inning. But the thing is, Paul also said, like, right now, he's our best option on Friday night, because if you look at who else they have, there isn't another great option there. So it's Hess. It's Marceau, who was great in his debut, but has been roughed up recently, especially at Texas, which is why tonight's going to be, you know, interesting to see how he pitches and if he can get himself back in there. Henry had a great debut on Saturday, pitched, like Paul said, like an SEC starter. And then, like you said, with Eric, his endurance just isn't there yet. Coming off the Tommy John surgery, he's still not who he was before. And then Jaden's out. So it's really those five guys.
Wow. Give me prediction. Who do you think lines up on the first SEC weekend?
Ooh, I mean, I think you've got Hess on Friday night. And then it's impossible to say until we see Marceau tonight, because he pitches really well, then he'll probably end up getting back in the weekend rotation. And then if Henry's healthy, I would put him in there personally, I guess. But, okay. I mean, he's also got to have that, because he just pitched so well, and he was able to go deep into the game, and that's something that Eric just hasn't been able to do yet.
So I guess if that's the case, Henry would be the Saturday starter, and then you would bring in, if Marceau does well tonight, maybe you bring him, because it's a Tuesday, you'd bring him in to start on a Sunday, I would think.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, we'll know for sure on Thursday.
I wonder if they take the approach with Zach Hess. Hey, Zach, look. Hey, come here. Let's talk a little bit. Look, I want you to throw as hard as you can. I want you to give me two innings, two really good innings, and then we'll talk about it. All right? Two good innings. I just think he's got to get that closer mentality in his mind and stop worrying about having to pick six, seven innings. Just fire away, man. Go get them, and then we'll talk after two innings, see how you feel, see what's going on. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
I mean, yeah, it kind of makes sense. I mean, obviously, you need him to go longer than two. But it's sort of – what makes me think of is something Paul was saying, like he's got to pit, he's got to have the intensity of a closer, because that's how – that's just how he pitches, and that's how he pitches well. But he has to be able to maintain that through six or seven innings, and that's what's really, really difficult on him. Because when he tries to slow down, that's when he gets hit. But when he's pitching, like, you know, at 110% energy-wise, that's when he's pitching well, but then he's throwing a ton of pitches doing that, and he's taxing his arm. So I guess that's the answer to that question for me.
Yeah, maybe tell him to start the game by pitching out of the stretch. Just thinking about this, runners on base. I don't know, but there's something in his head that LSU's got to get a hold of and go from there. But from an offensive perspective, you feel pretty good about the bats right now?
Yeah, they've been good. I mean, it was kind of weird this weekend. I mean, at the start of the year, it was, you know, Josh Smith, Antoine, and Daniel Cabrera, and that was pretty much the offense. And then now it's kind of flipped with those, not so much Smith, but Antoine and Daniel Cabrera are struggling a little bit, haven't been as consistent at the plate, but the bottom of the order is picking it up. I mean, Brock Mathis entered last Sunday batting 111, and now he's batting 250. Cade Beloso has kind of gotten back on track. Chris Reed is playing great. So I think the lineup's probably fine, and it'll be really dangerous if they can all start hitting well at the same time.
Yeah, that makes the pitching that much better. Well, look, I greatly appreciate it, man. Welcome. We'd love to do this more often now that we've got you. Safe travels up to the lovely city of Thibodaux, and do yourself a favor and get a meat pie while you're up there. Man, they're famous for them. They're very, very good. Just stop at any convenience store. They've got them, and they're fabulous. Trust me, okay?
All right. I'll make sure to do that.
Do that. Put a little mustard on the side, dip it. Oh, it's top shelf. Wilson Alexander, the Advocate. Thank you, for, my friend, and we greatly appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. LSU baseball tonight, Northwestern State in Natchitoches. Then tomorrow night, LSU back at the box. And then it's the weekend series, and we've got all these games coming to you right here on 103.7 The Game, your source for all things LSU sports. And we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Time to talk a little NBA. Owners getting in it with fans. Players getting in it with fans. And are the Golden State Warriors more vulnerable than ever? We'll talk with Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report, next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back. Time to talk about, yes, the NBA, and always something to talk about with the league that just keeps giving and giving and giving. And it's time to bring in our good friend Grant Hughes, feature writer of the NBA for Bleacher Report. Grant, good day, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. You're not kidding. There's always something going on with this league.
Whether it's an owner getting after a fan that wants him to sell the team, or even worse than that, what we just saw in Salt Lake City, Utah, with Russell Westbrook threatening a fan and his wife courtside. My goodness, there's different sides of the fence on this thing. Some people say a fan spends his good, hard-earned money, and he has the right to do or say whatever he wants. I'm not in that agreement. I think you have to be respectful of all. What is your stand, and what's the NBA going to do about this?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a preliminary issue that needs to sort of get figured out, which is that I don't know if we're entirely clear on what the fan said yet. You know, he's got his side of the story, and Westbrook has his. And there's John Hamm, who's a really good OKC beat writer who's done stuff for Bleacher Report as well, right, is really digging into kind of what happened. And it's not I just don't know. The answer is I don't know what was said, but it's possible that Westbrook just misheard the guy and then really went off. And so that, to me, would change the conversation a little bit. But if Westbrook's side of the story is true, then obviously the guy crossed the line. And I don't know that that excuses what Westbrook said, but, I mean, it makes it totally understandable. Whether the league agrees is going to be another question because, you know, we've seen that going back to, you know, 2004 with the Malice in the Palace.
Right.
The league is really sensitive to player-fan interactions, and obviously this isn't on that level, but it's something that it takes really seriously. So, you know, Westbrook could be in for a fine, and depending on it's just hard to say. I think a lot's still up in the air right now.
And there are fans that will bait and bait and bait and do what they can. And I don't believe that is their right to do so. But
no,
I don't know how you stop it. But what do you think about Mr. Dolan, the owner of the New York Knicks, and how he handled his situation with a fan that was screaming out, "Sell the team"?
I mean, that one's easier, right? First of all, because you don't ever take James Dolan's side in anything, and you're going to be safe there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, talk about you know the right to say what you want. I mean, that was sell the team. You know, maybe that hurts Dolan's feelings because it's close to the truth. I think probably every Knicks fan you could possibly talk to would want him to sell the team. But yeah, that's just getting the guy banned is such a Bush League move, and it's so ridiculous. I mean, in terms of, talk about a thin skin, that one's tough for me to get behind from Dolan's perspective.
All right, let's talk about a team near and dear to you from where you live, the Golden State Warriors. They've dropped 6 of their past 10 games. They haven't gotten consecutive victories in almost a month. And here we are, they're getting ready to take on the Houston Rockets, who are 30-11 dating back to December. After starting the season off with an 11-14 record, they've won 8 or 9 in a row. I'm going to ask you the question that every NBA analyst gets asked. Are the Golden State Warriors in their present construction the most vulnerable to defeat that they've ever been?
That's a tough one because we did this last year too. I think they finished 7-10, and it felt that way then. And I forget exactly when Steph Curry was hurt last year, but that was a factor as well. I guess probably just because, you know, it's another year coming off a finals run. Uh-huh. Everything is a little more stale. Everybody's a little more tired. It's even harder to summon, you know, urgency for these games. But then that cuts the other way, too, where, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be this vulnerable when they're fully engaged. You're betting on Golden State having the ability to hit that extra gear. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Kevin Durant having a foot out the door, that's a factor. DeMarcus Cousins being a real negative on the court, you know, other than his first four or five games is a factor. I think that's a fair assessment to make. I don't know if it means that, you know, they're less likely to win the title this year than, say, they were a year ago. It doesn't look good right now, but I don't think it's a panic button time by any stretch.
They can fix it. How does Steve Kerr fix it? Because, I mean, what did he actually say about Draymond Green? And you mentioned, I could have told you about Boogie Cousins, because I told you about the Pelicans a year ago. When he went out, that's when they took off and got
right.
better. But what do you do with those two people that are so unique in the way that they do things on the court?
Yeah, I mean, for Cousins, you know, to me, even after he signed, it didn't seem like he was ever going to play a really meaningful minute, because you're always going to close with Draymond at the five, Iguodala mm-hmm. on the floor instead of Cousins. So, you know, maybe he's going to rock the boat a little bit, but he doesn't have a leg to stand on, really, because the numbers bear it out. He's just not helping right now.
Right.
So I'm less worried about that. And really, like, I think there's enough equity in the Draymond-Steve Kerr relationship at this point. They've been through enough. They've had shouting matches. Who knows how heated they get day-to-day when the cameras aren't on. Mm-hmm. I think that's one that – and I do think Kerr said what the lip reading suggests he did with the expletive about being tired of Draymond getting into it with the officials all the time. But I guarantee they've had those conversations a million times. Mm-hmm. So that's really not the concern for me. I think, honestly, the Durant thing is probably the biggest issue with this team. It's got to be tough when one guy, I think, he's played great, but I think if the rest of the locker room knows he's a short-timer, that has to affect things. I think that could be a serious issue where, if they do hit playoff adversity, that's the type of thing that maybe gets, you know, amplified a little bit and could create a problem.
I believe in my playing days, when you have success, but certainly not to the level that they're on, I think the first thing that drops off is your focus and your intensity on the defensive end. And I think that's where they have lacked all season long. Do you believe they can summon that up again when it really counts?
I think they can do it in stretches. I don't think we're ever going to see, I mean, even if they get to the finals, a sustained, you know, top-notch, elite-level defense. I just don't think they can do that for long stretches. But I think you can get your 5- and 6-minute spurts where they're just creating turnovers and runouts and transition threes and really looking like, you know, the 73-win team and looking like they did, you know, 2 and 3 years ago. But I, you know, like, to your point, what kind of things can Steve Kerr say to motivate these guys that, you know, the well is only so deep. You've only got so many speeches. You've only got so many, you know, come to Jesus talks, and they've heard them all. And so if you're trying to motivate a team to defend and you just don't have any more bullets in the chamber from a motivational standpoint, I mean, I get it. You know, these guys, they know that they believe that they have a level they can reach no one else can. And it's just tough. You know, whether it's Kerr getting them there or it's them getting themselves there, it's tough to get there when they don't feel like they have to. And that's a real challenge right now.
Grant Hughes, Bleacher Report, NBA feature writer here on the Jordy Hochberg Show. It's going to be weird not having LeBron in the playoffs. Do you sit him down for the rest of the year, or is he so goal-oriented as far as individual accolades? He does want to be the all-time leading scorer in league history, I believe. What do you do with LeBron?
I mean, I rest him. I think one of the great, you know, tragedies of this season is we basically wasted what could be one of the last years of his, you know, he's not prime LeBron, but he's still a superstar level talent. And it went for nothing this year. So every minute you can spare, I think, counts because, you know, this has to work next year for the Lakers. It has to. They have to get Anthony Davis and then add a whole bunch more. And if LeBron isn't, you know, near his peak in his age 35 season, by the way, next year, then, you know, this still doesn't get to where I think they want it to. So, yeah, I would sit him. But the thing is, it's going to be his decision. You're not going to talk him out of playing if he wants to play. You're just going to hope he concedes a little bit of that.
Who's going to be the coach of the Lakers next year?
Doesn't feel like Luke Walton, does it? I mean, it's just, you know, he's got his flaws, I think, tactically. I think the way that he's used, you know, the rotation, there's room for criticism. But, I mean, this isn't on him, but this is how it goes. When there's a disappointment to this level, even if those expectations were kind of ridiculous based on the roster they put together around LeBron, I think he's going to be gone. I mean, if it's someone like Mark Jackson, I mean, you can talk about going from bad to worse. I'll tell you one thing. I think LeBron will have input on the coach, and I think that'll be a mistake because, you know, it's just we've seen it too many times. I think you want to get someone that's experienced. I mean, could you take Phil Jackson and de-age him 25 years or something?
I was going to ask you, where is he? I know he's in Montana somewhere. Has anybody heard hide nor hair of him? And do you offer a job like this to him?
I mean, who knows where he is? I think the fact that that's even a question suggests that he's probably not a serious consideration. I mean, he's 73. So if he felt physically like it was a struggle for him, you know, back when just a few years ago when he was with the Knicks, I think, you know, there were some rumblings, you know, maybe he'll coach there too, but the travel and all that stuff was a non-starter. I just don't think there's any way that he could be involved at that level. But I don't know who you get. It's an impossible question because you have to have someone that LeBron believes in and trusts, and you have to have someone that's actually also a good coach, and those things have not overlapped historically.
We haven't had a player coach since Bill Russell. I mean, there's no way LeBron is the player coach, is he?
Nah, we'll never see that again. I don't think. Okay. I mean, even if it's LeBron, I mean, there's no way. I don't see how that could possibly work.
You did say that the Lakers have to get Anthony Davis. So what are they going to offer the Pelicans now that is going to be different from what they offered earlier?
It may be the same, and the difference may be that it's not Dell Demps kind of taking a strong stand against doing anything with the Lakers.
Okay.
So, I mean, the thing is, it's crazy. If they do this after the league year flips over, the Lakers are going to have to sign guys just to make enough matching salary to get Davis. Because next year's books for the Lakers are LeBron, six guys on rookie scale deals, and Lou Alding's $5 million that he's going to get paid for the next 4 or 5 years because they stretched him. So there's not enough money to just make a deal work financially. So, I mean, it's going to have to be a bunch of firsts. If I'm the Pelicans, I'm saying our starting point is those four first-rounders, Ball, Ingram, Kuzma, and maybe we'll talk. And then if the Lakers do that, great. If they want it, if they come down from there, that's still fine because Davis wants out anyway. But, yeah, the Lakers just – this has to happen. It has to happen or you're going to waste LeBron James. And that's just like – that's a high crime in the NBA world.
If they don't get Anthony Davis, does LeBron go to the Lakers and say, trade me?
I mean, I'd think about it if I were him, wouldn't you? Because they're not, you know, they're not going to get, let's say, you know, there's some other free agents. And, you know, I don't think Klay Thompson is a realistic possibility. But let's say no Davis. They go out and they sign, I don't know, Jimmy Butler. And they get a discount on Nikola Vucevic or something like that. I mean, what are you doing with that team in the West? You're not, I mean... Nothing. You're not a contender. So, I mean, that's on the table. I mean, some people are saying trading LeBron is on the table, which, I mean, I guess. But what's this all been about if that's the fallback option?
Man, good luck, Magic and Rob Pelinka, right? Good luck. Are you of the belief that superstars don't want to go play with him?
There's a lot of evidence to that, you know, to support that. I haven't talked to anyone that specifically told me I won't play with him, and I don't know that anybody really has come out that strongly. But it's hard. Wherever LeBron goes, there's chaos. And And sometimes that's a good thing. He says he likes to be uncomfortable. But, you know, lately it's been a bad thing because, Kawhi Leonard, not interested. Paul George decided to stay in Oklahoma City instead of L.A. It's just the track record is piling up where guys just, they don't want to be a part of it, especially now that he's going to be 35. I mean, what's he going to be next year, 36, 37? It's, he's not going to be the same guy on top of all the extracurricular stuff you got to deal with.
Is this the last year of the Warriors? Steph Curry's not going anywhere, but is Draymond Green going to stay? I don't think Boogie Cousins is going to stay. Kevin Durant doesn't seem to be going to stay. Seems to me you've got Steph and Clay that goes back to day one. Am I wrong there?
No, I think that's a real possibility. I think Draymond probably has a better chance of sticking around than some people think. Clay, I think, will stay. And really, you could frame it like this and say, next off season when we're looking at title odds, there won't be a scenario realistically where you're saying, I take the Warriors over the field. I think those days are going to be over.
I'm going to tell you what, if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm looking real hard at what the Warriors are doing. I really am.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, part of me, though, is kind of interested in the idea of, wasn't it kind of cool when it was Steph and Clay and Draymond and role fillers? I mean, that was kind of fun because that was really when Curry was just apex level. And, part of me kind of enjoys the Warriors when there is no question about sharing touches or who's getting the, Durant is a great player, an all-timer, maybe the best pure scorer we've ever seen. But he changes the dynamic in a way that diminishes Curry just a little bit.
No question.
And I'm kind of interested in maybe seeing if we can get some, 3 and 4 years ago version of Steph Curry if Durant's gone.
They are more fun to watch when he's putting up 30 a night. I got to admit, from just a pure entertainment standpoint, when that little guy's doing it, they are something else. We'll see. We'll see. All right, we'll see about the Rockets and the Warriors and see what's going on with that one. It's another night in the association. Ought to be fun. As always, it's always fun talking with you, man. You take care and enjoy it.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, buddy. That is Grant Hughes, NBA feature writer for Bleacher Report. We'll be back to wrap things up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
And we welcome you back. Finishing touches to this Tuesday edition of the Jordy Helfrich Show, brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. And by DC's Little Capital Exxon I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Everything you need for your travels near and far. Frankie's a great fan, fan of the show, fan of sports. He loves all things UL, LSU, Saints, Pelicans. Got everything you need inside his place, all kind of gift items. Cleanest restrooms anywhere, and that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner, my goodness, is the food delicious. It really, really is. So gas up, eat up, drink up, hit the road after you stop at DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Busy day. Mark Ingram will leave as the second leading rusher all time in Saints history. That 4-game suspension really hurt him. But Latavius Murray coming into the fold and just waiting on the last words for Teddy Bridgewater on a busy day with the Saints as they try to take that next step. And they've got to do it, in most cases this year, via the free agent market. So with that in mind, we thank our guest Luke Johnson, giving us the very latest on the New Orleans Saints. LSU baseball tonight. Here on 103.7 The Game, we welcomed Wilson Alexander, a very important night for Landon Marceau. Amy Just with all things LSU basketball, LSU football, and Grant Hughes with life in the NBA. Busy, busy day, and we greatly appreciate all of them for their contributions. All right, history lesson time, CD. And today we go back in time for two memorable moments in hoops, because it was on this day, March the 12th, 1985. Larry Bird, the Hick from French Lick, scored a Boston Celtic record 60 points versus the Atlanta Hawks. Just like a week earlier, Kevin McHale scored 59 to set the mark. Larry Bird said, I'm Mr. Shamrock. I'm going to have the record. And Larry Bird got 60 on this day, March 12th, 1985. Go 2 years later, the Admiral in 1987, David Robinson, playing for the Naval Academy, the big lefty, scored 50 in an NCAA tournament game. The same David Robinson that beat LSU in an NCAA tournament game. Nobody had really heard that much about him. Ooh, found out quickly about that. So two memorable moments from two Hall of Famers, Larry Bird, David Robinson, on this day in sports history. If March the 12th is your birthday, well, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a lot of cake and ice cream and blow out those candles and have some fun. You share the day with. Happy 57th birthday to one Daryl Strawberry. And happy 70th birthday to, you got a friend, James Taylor. Na, 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 na. You got a friend. All right, so happy birthday. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary to each and every one of you. Hope you had year after year after year to it. CD, job well done as always. Thanks to all of you for listening and to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Tomorrow we'll recap LSU versus the Demons of Northwestern State in baseball. We'll get you ready for LSU basketball in the SEC tournament, UL in the Sun Belt tournament, and much, much more. It is March Madness time. I mean, let's go. It's time to get going. And everybody's got a shot come tournament time. And we'll be with you every step of the way. We only have one of these Tuesdays, March the 12th. Have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m. Same great station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfberg. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. So long, everybody.